Why is it that some people come to church and they hear a message from God's word that changes their life, uplifts them, and makes them just excited when they leave to see what God is going to accomplish in their life in the coming week? Why is that the experience of some people, while other people come and hear the exact same message and think, well, that's nice, or think, oh, when is this going to be over? And they leave unchanged. Why is it that two groups of people, can hear the exact same message and have such different responses to it? Well, there may be many reasons that that's the case, that that can happen. But there is one reason that I think we don't perhaps think about often enough. And that's what I would like us to talk about together this morning. And that is, how do we listen to the Word of God? Is there something we should know about how we are supposed to listen when the Word of God is being spoken or taught? And so this morning, I want us to spend our time together in the book of Nehemiah. So if you have your Bibles, we all do, let's turn there together to the book of Nehemiah. Granted, Nehemiah is not a book that we turn to as often, so I always like to talk about how to find it for those who may not be quite sure. If you open your Bible halfway, chances are pretty good you're going to come to the book of Psalms. And if you don't, close it and try again. And once you find the book of Psalms, go to the left or before it about four books, and you will come to the book of Nehemiah. Now, we need to understand a little bit about the background of Nehemiah, and we'll be in Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah was one of the Jews, and his fellow Jews, the children of Israel, had been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years, just like the prophet Jeremiah had prophesied would happen. But by the time we come to the beginning of the book of Nehemiah, their captivity is over. And Nehemiah is concerned, wanting to know, how are my fellow Jews? And what is the state of Jerusalem? Because he cared. He was one of them. And so he finds out, the report is, that the walls around the city have been broken down or torn down. The gates are gone, and therefore Jerusalem is in a state of shame, if you will. And so his heart being with his people, he wants to do what he can to help restore that city. And so he goes to the king, because he was the cupbearer for the king at the time, Nehemiah was, and he says, can I please go? Can I leave my work with you for a while and please go and try to help my people and rebuild the wall? The king blesses him and gives him his favor. Not only that, he gives him letters that he can take with him that will allow him to pass through all the difficult cities he might encounter on the way back to Jerusalem. But he also gives him a letter that would allow him to receive and be given the wood to build the wall back up. It's remarkable, because God found favor with Nehemiah. Now that's from chapters 1 through 7. We're picking up the story in Nehemiah chapter 8, because after he leaves and goes back to his city, they do the work. They rebuild the wall. And so when we come to chapter 8, a time of great celebration is at hand, because the work has been done. And it is in this chapter that I think we can pull some principles about how we are supposed to listen to the Word of God. So let's read it together, beginning in verse 1. It says, now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. Now, I want us to stop along the way and let's pull out these principles. First of all, we have a large group of the children of Israel gathered together. The city wall has been rebuilt, the gate, all of that. And they're ready to celebrate. And what do? They tell Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses. And here is the first principle. How should we listen to the word of God? I think this verse tells us that we should listen, first of all, eagerly. These people were eager. Do you notice what it says? It says they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses. Now we have to remember, things were different back then. They didn't have their own Bibles. They knew that their opportunities to hear the word of God were going to be limited. And all they would have to rely on was their memory. And so they were eager to hear it. And it makes me stop and think, how eager are you and I? when we hear the word of God being spoken? Are we eager to hear it? Do we share this same eagerness? Because the truth is, if we don't have an eagerness for the word of God, we're not going to have an eagerness for God himself. Well, how can we know if we are eager like these people were? Well, first of all, I would suggest to you that people who are eager to hear the word of God look forward to coming to church. It's not something that's a drudgery and, oh, I've got to do that again. No, we should be eager to go. Secondly, eager people bring their Bibles with them. I want to, if you're not in the habit of bringing your Bible, to start. Friends, we need to take every opportunity we have to hold up this book, because the world needs to see that this is our instruction book for living. This is the greatest gift there's ever been given. You can take all the books in the world and put them on one side and put the Bible on the other, and this will outweigh it every time. Let's show our Bibles as much as we can. And thirdly, I think if we're eager, we need to develop a habit of bringing something to take notes, to make notes when we hear something that's going to impact us, because we have an enemy, and we must never forget that we have an enemy who wants nothing more than to make us forget what we hear. You already know, as I do, we remember very little of what we hear. So we need to be writing it down. Let's show an eagerness for the word of God. That's what these people had. They told Ezra, bring the book of the law of Moses and let us hear you read from it. Now let's continue reading in verse 2. In fact, we'll read verses 2 and 3. So Ezra, he did what they asked. He brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. And then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate, morning until midday, before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Now, the other thing, we've already said they didn't have their own Bibles, but even the scripture that they had was not what we have. Most likely they had probably Genesis through Deuteronomy or so. That's all they had of the scripture. And Ezra was the one who had it. So he brings the scroll before them and he starts to read to them. You see, all they had was their memory. You and I are blessed to have the actual word of God, but they were listening. Verse 3 says, at the end of verse 3, the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Are we attentive while the word of God is being spoken? Or are we thinking about what time it is? How much longer is he going to preach this morning? Because you see, and that's the other thing. Did you notice how long he read from morning until midday? They didn't know anything about 30-minute sermons, did they? Yeah. You know, maybe we're thinking about, what are we going to have for lunch? And is the lunch line going to be long? We need to be attentive. I can almost imagine that the time churches get out on Sunday mornings may be one of the saddest times for the Lord. You know why? When he sees how eager we are to get out of here. They were not. They listened attentively. And people will say, I've got a short attention span. Well, let's see how short it is. If a movie comes on TV that we want to watch, we can hang in there, can't we? You see, it's all about how interested we are in what we're doing. And the thing is, our lives are so full anyway with other things. And the time that we have together is so limited at best. We need to be very attentive when we are together, because how hungry we are for the Word of God is going to determine how attentive we are when it is being spoken. They listened, first of all, eagerly. Secondly, they listened attentively. Now let's look again in verse 3 to notice that they listened trustfully. It says that he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Do you suppose those people standing there thought, I wonder if that what he's up there reading is something he and Ezra put together? Do you think that's what they thought? No. They knew that they were going to hear the word of God being spoken. And so they were listening very trustfully. Now here's an important difference. There is a difference between listening to someone read the word of God and trusting it wholly, compared to listening to someone expound upon the word of God, as I'm doing this morning. and listening to it trustfully. And so there are some things we need to keep in mind. When you start to listen to someone teach from the Word of God, what should we keep in mind? And these principles may be especially helpful to us at this time as we are looking for someone to work with us full time here. First of all, is the man I'm sitting here listening to, does he believe that every word in the Bible is the inspired Word of God? Or does he think that the verse in the book of Acts doesn't belong there, or part of the Old Testament shouldn't? If he doesn't believe at all, forget it. Forget it. Does he believe that the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God? First of all, you've got to have someone who believes it all. Secondly, is he committed to an honest interpretation of the Bible? Or is he going to try to teach and focus and pull some pet doctrine out of it to teach about? Thirdly, is this man standing before you, is he at least attempting to try to live the principles that he's teaching us in his own life? And fourthly, is he seeking to bring glory to God, or is he seeking to bring glory to himself? Now you say, well, if all of those things are true, then we're fine to listen trustfully. And no, and I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that that is a good place to start. But just like those Bereans, we have to check whatever we hear and whatever we try to understand to make sure that it does match according to the principles of Scripture. Parents, don't raise your children under the teaching of anyone who does not believe that all of the Bible is the inspired Word of God. You'll do them a greater disservice than could ever be imagined. God, people will say, yeah, but now the Bible has come down to us, you know, a lot of different translations. Listen, the God of the Bible is big enough to keep his word pure. Make sure that you listen to someone that you can check what they say, but that does not mean we are to listen to the word of God as these people did, trustfully. Fourthly, let's go to verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And just as a side note, it's interesting that verse 4, I think, is the first mention of a podium or a pulpit of some sort in preaching. But verse 5 says, he opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now, how else should we listen to the word of God? We should listen to it not only eagerly, attentively, and trustfully, but we should listen to it expectantly. It says, when he opened that book, what did they do? All the people stood up. Why do you think they stood up? Was it because they were expecting to hear from a man, or because they were expecting to hear from God? It was because they were expecting to hear from God, wasn't it? Now, when you come to church, do you come because you are expecting to hear from a man? Or do you come because you are expecting to hear from God? We need to come because we are expecting to hear from God. You know, I can imagine it would be impossible for God to say, well, I've got something I want 3/4 of you to hear this morning. The rest of you can just skip it. That's not the God we serve. And one of the great mysteries of preaching is that a man can stand before a group of people and preach a single message, and it can mean so many different things to the lives of everyone who hears it. I've heard other preachers say, and I've had limited experience that is the same way, they'll say that after the service, someone will come up and say, you said just what I needed to hear. And they'll say, well, what was it? And they'll say, and it will not be anything they explicitly stated. Because God's word, and you know, that's God's. This is not a magical book. I'm not saying that. But there is something supernatural about it because of the person who wrote it. We need to listen expectantly. How little expectation, I'm afraid, we often have when the Word of God is being read or being taught. And you compare it to the football game and how people can cheer and get excited. And then sometimes those very same people will come and sit in church and it's, oh dear, you know. Well, if we have an attitude like that, more than likely, my friends, God can't get through. Because we have to do our part, which is to come expectantly. So let me recommend two things to start praying when you come in and you're here to worship and you expect to listen to the word of God. Number one, let's pray the prayer that Eli told Samuel to pray. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Pray that. And secondly, pray for the man of God, whoever it is, who is going to stand before you. I don't know a single one of us that doesn't need, covet, desire your prayers. First of all, that God will show us the truth and make it clear and simple so that we can understand it, apply it to our lives before we even try to share it with you. Pray for the people that will stand before you. Well, I've given you four words, and there are three more. So far we're to listen eagerly, attentively, trustfully, expectantly, receptively. Have I given you receptively yet? That's the next one, isn't it? I said it, and I thought we haven't talked about it. It's not receptively. Anyway, it's humbly. My apologies. So we listen eagerly, attentively, trustfully, expectantly, now humbly. Let's look in verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped with their faces to the ground. Why did they lift their hands, first of all? Don't you think it was to express their need, that they knew they had a need for the Lord? And what was it about them bowing their heads? Because they were so bowed over with humility. And what about them falling on, or it says, worshiping the Lord with their faces to the ground? What's that about? Well, they were either on their knees or prostrate on the ground. Now, let me ask you something. Have you ever gotten on your knees? People will say, yeah, but you don't have to do that. No, you don't. But don't ever forget that God honors the spirit of humility. I always think about a dear little lady, and my memory of her is very vague because I was four, so. But she was my babysitter. And she was quite elderly. Sister Hodges was her name. But the word was, and I've learned in years since, that whenever they would pray in church, she would just quietly, she sat kind of on this side, like where Miss Hattie is sitting, she would just, without any show, just kneel down. That's what I've heard. In front of her chair. You don't have to do it, but there's nothing wrong with doing it. And certainly in our private time, if we can, there's nothing wrong. There's a lot about it because it shows that we are humble before the Lord. And we are to listen to it humbly. Sixthly, is receptively. Let's go to verse 7. We have a list of a bunch of names here I will not attempt to pronounce. And it says that they helped the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. You see, they were helping them understand what they were hearing. Now, let's jump down to illustrate this point further to verses 13 through 16. It says, now on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people with the priests and Levites were gathered to Ezra the scribe. They came back the second day. Why? In order to understand the words of the law. They wanted to understand. You see, they were being receptive to it. Now notice what they discovered in verse 14. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. Now let's just summarize that to say, they came back to see Ezra the next day, and they learned as he presented and talked to them further about the word of God that they were supposed to be living in booths during this time. And because they were receptive, look at what they did in verse 16. Then the people went out and brought them, and what did they do? They made themselves booths. They did it. They were receptive when they heard. I'll never forget a preacher saying one time, he said, you know, when Christians know better, they'll do better. And that's always stayed with me, and I think it's true. Because if anyone in this world is going to improve themselves when they know they should, it's going to be us. When Christians know better, they'll do better. And that's the case with these people. When they found out there was something in the Word of God that they were not doing, or that they needed to do differently or whatever, they did it. And so they listened receptively. Now you and I are going to listen to the Word of God in one of two ways. It's always this way. We're either going to listen to it to consider it, maybe, or we're going to listen to it to obey it. And which is it for you? If you can honestly say that I listen to the Word of God because I want to obey it without question, then praise the Lord for that. If, however, you sense there is a spirit of, I'll consider it, my friend, you need to cry out to the living God. He will help you do away with that spirit of rejection that is within you. We are supposed to listen to the Word of God, not just to consider it, but to obey it. They wanted to obey it so much that what did they do? They had an extra meeting because they wanted to do it so badly, to know what he said and to do it. Six words, one more. Let's see if we can review them. Do you remember what the first one was? We're to listen eagerly. Secondly, we are to listen attentively. Thirdly, we are to listen trustfully. We're to listen expectantly. We are to listen humbly. We are to listen receptively. And finally, we are to listen joyfully. Joyfully. Let's go to verses 9 through 12. It says, and Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Why do you think they were doing that? You see, they had been in captivity because of their sins and the sins of their forefathers. And surely part of this weeping was coming to the realization, what have we done? And aren't we the same way often? They were weeping, but notice, they're not left there. Let's continue in verse 10. Then he said to them, Nehemiah said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. Why? For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. They began very sorrowful. They were unctioned to the point that they were weeping, but not at the end. By the end, they were joyful. Why? Because they had heard the word of the Lord, and furthermore, the end of verse 12 says, they were able to understand it. My friends, we should never leave here in a state worse than we were when we came. We should always leave joyfully because we've heard from the word of the Lord. I guess that's why it always thrills me when I see young people, children, like some this morning, who are watching and listening. Because we should all be able to understand and learn the Word of God. Seven words. If we find ourselves, you know, if we come in here and we're under conviction or we get under conviction for something in our life, then deal with it. But don't leave here the same way you were when you came. There's never a need for that. God doesn't want that. He wants us to leave joyfully. We are to listen to the Word of God eagerly. We are to listen attentively, trustfully, expectantly, humbly, receptively, and leave joyfully. You know, God didn't make His book easy, did He? Parts of it are easier than others. But don't you think if He hadn't made it easy, we might have been inclined to read it just once and put it down? That's not the way it is. When we read it, when we hear it, we always will often hear something that we didn't think about before. That's happened to me several times just this morning. ideas and things that we share, because this is the Word of God. It's like a treasure. This book is the mind of God. That's why we'll never exhaust it. Do you listen to the Word of God to consider it? Or do you listen to it to obey it? If you find yourself wanting to consider it, then I want to encourage you to really look within yourself this morning and do whatever you need to do to make sure that's not the way you leave this building, because you don't have to. Let's all leave here joyfully this morning. If we can help you become a Christian by hearing the Word of God and believing it as the Word of God, not the word of a man, repenting of the sins in your life, confessing your belief that Jesus is the Son of God, He's not just a good man, and then being willing to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we would love to help you with that. This morning, don't leave here without taking care of that. I guarantee you, there will never be a better time than now. And if you are a Christian and for some reason have taken God off the throne of your life and tried to do it again, haven't you come to the point of realizing it doesn't work? You need to make things right too. Whatever your need, if we can help you, please come while we stand and sing.
Just as I